that west head up. You'll be the rain, no, you're in the way. From that west head up. Another name, cause I'm here to say. From that west head up. Welcome to a One Up Club and Trending Topics Network presentation of Heads Up for Sunday, July 10th, 2016. My name is Brian, and on this week's show, we're going to do what we always do, which is give you the latest information and news from the video game industry. This week, getting right into it, I am joined once again by the co-founding member of the One Up Club, Gameblock.com's very own Ryan Hamner. What's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing fantastic. We've been actually pretty busy behind the scenes this past week.
Yeah, I have to give you a big shout out here and thank you for kind of reigniting my interest in multiplayer video games this week.
We've been having fun, and I actually have never really been into it, but I've been having a blast. As the listeners may or may not know, if they partook in watching us get some Sniper Elite 3 action in this week, with a little bit of a live stream kind of checking out the game for the first time for me. It's been a blast though. We played a little bit more last night. It was really fun, especially when some of those level 50 guys started giving in and completely making us look like the amateurs we are.
Yeah, I think you and I are at levels 3 and 4, respectively. We were having fun in our first match, trying to snipe one another one-on-one. All of a sudden, we had people pop in, level 50, level 38, level 54, and it's just kind of like, look out. We were toast from that point on. We had no chance.
Yeah, I think it went from having like a 50% scoped range accuracy to like a 38 in just one match, and I had like a kill death ratio of like, what was it, 1 to 7, so yeah. 12.5%, whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because at the end of the match, after you play your full 10 minutes, it rattles off everybody's kill count, everybody's fatality number, and the longest distance that you earned a kill from, because it is a sniping game. Those guys were coming in at like 150 meters, 75 meters, 170 meters, and there's you and I. I think one of mine was like 9 meters was my long call.
Yeah, you had 9 meters and I had like 60.
Basically what it boils down to was, and what would you say in that last match? There was probably, I would say, 5 other people that was in there with us.
Yeah.
Basically at that point, the only chance you or I have to get a kill is to kill one another. But we're too busy getting killed by all those fantastic players that joined us last night. You just don't stand a chance against those guys. They obviously play often enough to have earned that level ranking, and it shows, you know, they were able to kind of pick out their spot. And just, they didn't move. That one guy just found a certain spot, and he just sat there and headshot, 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 one after another. I don't know how he did it, because in the game you're supposed to move around, because you get a kill, your position, where you got that kill from is revealed to everybody else.
Yeah.
But he just stayed put and nobody got him.
Yeah, it was insane, because there's one dude that just kind of stood behind a rock the whole time. And literally, you were coming from one end, I was actually on the other, camped out in some bushes, and like, he would kill us every time.
Yeah, I don't know. We're coming from,
bam,
we're,
done.
Yeah, we're coming from two different sides. It's like, one of us is probably going to be the sacrificial lamb there, but that should open up the other guy to get the kill. Somehow he killed us both. I don't even know how that's possible.
And we had the benefit of communication.
Yeah, we couldn't even coordinate an attack, and like I said, our only hope is to shoot one of each other. I got a nice machine gun kill on you that I was proud of, but again, it was like close range. That I have no chance unless I can get up close.
Yeah, and in reality, it was sad, it was pathetic, but we were laughing the entire time. It was so fun.
That's the whole thing, too, is that I was actually really pissed that, you know, I had to put my kid to bed, so we had to end the match, because I was ready to get my ass kicked some more with that same crowd that we were playing with, because in that particular game, whoever is in the previous game with you, I think just carries over automatically, because the guy in the first match, he was in the second match and the third match that we played. Mm-hmm. I was ready to play some more with those guys. I wanted to get a kill on Cool Kid 48 or whatever that dude's name was.
Yeah, because once you're rivals, then you kind of take that to heart.
Yeah.
So
it was a blast. I'm having so much fun. I can't wait till we can fire up some Sniper Elite 3 once again.
Absolutely. It's going to be a blast, and I know Mart is going to be joining us very shortly. He actually did pick up the game. And if you out there listening happen to have that game and want to hook us up, by all means, you can find me on PlayStation. My PlayStation ID or whatever the hell they call it over there is Toons Brian. That's TOONSBRIAN. Go ahead and look me up, and I will gladly play a little bit of Sniper Elite 3 with you. It's, even though I suck, I mean, I can help you boost your rankings at the very least, but it's so fun.
And it's worth noting, too, even if you don't already own the game, it's dirt cheap right now, whether you take advantage of the flash sale. I don't know if that's still going on or not right now.
But even if you
have to get a retail copy, I think I got it off of Amazon for like $23. And for, you know, it's, I've played enough of the campaign to say it's nothing special. But just for the multiplayer alone, if you get a couple of friends, I mean, it's got really good multiplayer.
It's a cheap experience that you won't feel guilty for shelling out $60 to suck, basically.
And and I didn't see any kind of season pass that you have to buy to play the multiplayer, you know? So you buy the core game, you don't have to worry about giving, I don't even know who developed that, but you don't have to give them any more of your money.
Yeah, which is key, because so many of these games nowadays, they make it almost impossible to keep up once they start releasing the DLC, because they don't really nerf anything because they want you to buy the DLC. So they kind of sucker you into having to do it if you want to stay competitive.
Look at what a cash grab Call of Duty, Battlefront, and Battlefield have all become as far as like multiplayer. You know, hey, here's another Call of Duty map. Give us another $8.
Yeah. And it's becoming more and more the actual model of business for the video games industry. It has been for the past several years. I can't say that I blame them, because in reality, you look back in the day, the games were still pretty much about the same cost. And how much has inflation gone up? Quite a bit.
Yeah.
So there is that. Ideally, I mean, we are seeing more digital downloads and things like that, which is how I got Sniper Elite 3 and many other games. Far more than I ever thought that I would. But that is actually saving the developers production money, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But clearly they still have to, in this environment, they still do have to put out that DLC and get people to buy into it, even a little bit more.
Yeah, and by no means is it simply military shooters that are doing that. Batman Arkham Knight last year was infamous for how much its season pass was, and even Star Wars Lego The Force Awakens has got a DLC system there that you can buy extra levels. And in my opinion, I finished the last of them this morning. If you're a Lego fan and a Star Wars fan, you gotta get the season pass on that. Those extra levels are just outstanding.
Yeah, I can't wait. My son refuses to play it until we get another controller back in the house, because he left his controller at his grandmother's house.
Oh.
And I was like, well, why don't you just play it? And I was just gonna sit there and watch him. He's like, I wanna wait for you.
Oh.
And so.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's cool, but I'm like, I kind of want to see it, because we got the deluxe edition yesterday.
You haven't seen, like, 1 second of the gameplay, then?
No, I've seen some videos, but not really anything significant. He actually watched some of the videos over the past couple weeks.
You guys are just, you're going to absolutely love the way it opens up. It's great.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, like, there's so many things that are cool about it that weren't in some of the previous games, like being able to select what it is that you build and things like that.
Yeah.
And I really can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah, like I said, I finished it this morning. My knee-jerk reaction, and this is coming from a self-proclaimed Star Wars nerd, so I am not claiming objectivity here whatsoever. This is the best of the LEGO games that I've played so far.
Nice. I really can't wait. But before we get into the news, let's take care of some business, shall we? First off, we welcome everybody out there to join the club, and that is the 1UP Club. And you can do so by going to www.1-up.club. That's 1-up.club, where you can find links to literally every news story we cover here on the 1UP Heads Up podcast. In addition to finding those rolling feeds, you'll also find all the contact information and RSS feeds for the entire 1UP Podcast Network lineup of shows, which currently include this, which is Heads Up. It also includes Ryan, GameBlock.com's Block Party, and the Johnny Good Times Fun Factory podcast, which actually feature you.
Yeah, new episode should be coming up some point tomorrow. I was actually editing it a couple minutes before we went on the air here, so I should get that posted tomorrow.
Nice, excellent. And you have a whole merry band of misfits that actually join you from time to time, so be sure to check that out. And also, Mart Scott and PK Punk's Brainchild, which is the 1UP Power Up podcast, which has a lot of info on computer gaming and PS4 stuff as well. They had to push back recording until tonight, I believe, because apparently things are pretty busy in the UK this weekend with wrestling shows and various things like that, so be sure to check that out. Next, actually, I'd like to also tell you to head on over to TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you can find not only this show, but you can find more shows and you can actually shake a selfie stick at. You got Old School at the Movies, you got Hanging with Heavy, Squabble Box, the Spanish Announce Table, and a whole lot more. So, whether you're into movies, or drinking, or football, or professional wrestling, or movies about former football playing wrestlers who get drunk. Pretty much the Trending Topics Network has a show.
That's actually my favorite genre in the film industry.
Yeah, the drunk football player who becomes a wrestler and then just gets drunk more. That's probably an underutilized genre.
It kind of sounds like the kind of movie Johnny Knoxville would be the star of.
Yeah. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio could have won an Oscar a lot sooner if he would have just sold out to that.
Yep.
But, as it were, that is all out of the way, so we're going to get right into the news that is really making waves this week. Starting with another year, another broken record. Over at Polygon.com today, Ryan, there's actually a story which is literally pretty much becoming an annual story. Summer Games Done Quick has set up a regular charity event benefiting Doctors Without Borders. And they soundly beat last year's record, which was $1.2 million in a 24-hour period. Have you ever checked the speedrunning event out, whether it's on Twitch or after the fact?
No, I haven't, and I'm kind of kicking myself because that is actually based in Minnesota. You know, they did that at the Hilton in downtown Minneapolis this year. The previous year it was in St. Paul at the River Center. And I never got a chance to go, and I'm really kicking myself. The first time it was in Minnesota, and I was in the process of moving down to Texas, so I couldn't have timed that out any worse. But if I had been there, I would have gone either as a participant or just to see it. I mean, it's such an awesome cause, and the amount of money they're raising for this, that's 2 years in a row they've gone over $1.2 million. That's amazing. What a good thing to do, and what a fun way to raise money for Doctors Without Borders.
And it is funny, too, because they almost raised $1.3 million. They were only, $2,100 away?
Yeah, it's really, really close.
From $1.3 million. Yeah. That's from 22,840 donors. And it's kind of funny because you said that Minnesota is where this originated. Minnesota is actually one of those quietly kind of a hotbed of video gaming for some reason. If you recall back, they used to have the Tecmo Super Bowl, basically the world championships is pretty much what it was considered for Tecmo Super Bowl. And it was also based in Minnesota, like that whole big tournament that really literally attracted people from all over to play in it. And the people who actually ran it dominated it, which is kind of why, as life kind of forced them a little bit away from everything, they sort of had to shut it down at that point. But is there something about Minnesota? I think Game Informer is actually based in Minnesota as well.
That's where Game Informer is based out of, and those guys were very prevalent on local podcasts and all that stuff. And I think they're, to a certain degree, at some point, they were involved with these charity speedruns as well. So, yeah, huge video game presence there. I'm not quite sure why. I don't know if there's any developers there. Certainly none of any major. I know Activision had a smaller branch over in Bloomington. So yeah, there is a pretty sizable video game footprint, in the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yeah, and I know the St. Paul, Minneapolis, area is considered one of the most educated and the highest per capita grossing, salary wise in the country. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it's the cold weather.
You can't go outside like half the year, so, you know, might as well play video games.
Yeah, so it seems like that, at first it's like kind of, that's odd, but when you come down to it, maybe it makes a lot of sense. But during the event, there were 177 individual speedruns, throughout that 24-hour period. If you want to check them out, you can either go to YouTube and watch them all, or Polygon.com actually went and recapped the event, so they kind of condensed everything into a nice sizable video, so you can head over there. Just pretty amazing. Is there a game that you would love to see speedrun, like just off the top of your head, something that you would really like to see?
I've seen one of my favorite speedruns to watch that I've already seen, of course, is the original Super Mario Brothers. I think there's a dude that can beat it in like under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which if you think about that, I mean, even with all the warping and whatnot, that's pretty damn impressive. 5 minutes? That's crazy.
It is.
But when you factor in the amount of time it takes Mario to simply like get from the starting point to go down the tube and stuff, I mean, all those, that's like precious seconds being lost.
Yeah.
But for me, I guess, a game that I would like to see that I've never checked out, and I'm sure there has to be a speedrun of it out there somewhere, is the original Metal Gear Solid. I think that would be really cool to see how fast somebody could beat that in.
See, I would like to see Bubble Bobble done. Because it's 100 levels, and they're all kind of fun, but at the same time, everything has to be, like, timed right. And the bubbles seem to be so random that, like, how would you actually do it? I'm sure there's a pattern to it, but that would actually be kind of fun, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, moving on. If you've got something, by all means, hit me up on Twitter, @ToonsBrian, or we'll just make that a question of the week with the speedruns and say, what are your top three games that you would like to see speedrun? And you can use the hashtag #OneUpTop3. That's #OneUpTop3, hashtagged. Tell us what your favorite games would be for the speedrun, the top three games. So, and of course I'm just winging that, so there you go. We'll tweet it out later. For the second story that we have here is actually PlayStation Vice President Adam Boy has announced this week that he's actually leaving Sony to venture back into game development. To me, this is kind of a surprise because PlayStation VP is like a pretty big title. Just to go back into game development, which is kind of odd. It appears as though he has a job waiting for him already, but nobody knows exactly what that job is. GameSpot.com is reporting that the industry leader who piped up at the news was Xbox's own Phil Spencer, who sent a tweet to Boys that read, "Best of luck in your new endeavors, my friend. Looking forward to seeing what you do with the next step in your career." To which Boys responded, "Thanks, Phil. Should be a wild ride. Thanks for being a classy platform leader at Xbox." Now, this could be a reference. I don't know if you remember this. But PlayStation actually did some parody video type things, basically making fun of Xbox, just a few years ago. I'm wondering if this is kind of just a playful back and forth between these guys where they might have had some words behind the scenes. I'm not really sure. But what are your thoughts on Boy is leaving and for that reason?
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, he was the vice president of third-party relations. Is that correct?
I believe it's something like that, yes.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure. Now, I know that he was heavily involved with, like, promoting kind of indie release titles. I remember he was really pushing No Man's Sky, not pushing it, but he was talking it up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I also remember he's been a big proponent of the Vita. Well, I mean, obviously nobody at Sony is a proponent of the Vita at this point, but in recent years he was one of the few guys over there that would still be willing to talk about my favorite handheld video game system of all time. But yeah, I mean, it does seem like a step backwards to leave an electronics giant, arguably the biggest name in video games right now, Sony, and the PlayStation brand, which is red hot right now with VR coming out, the Neo potentially coming out, to go back to game design. Now, as a creative person myself, maybe he just wants to do more of that type of stuff. Maybe just doing PR and stuff was getting old and just wanted to get back to getting his hands dirty and writing and making stuff. That would be my guess, but it does to me seem like a downgrade, I guess, from as far as a job title.
Yeah, and it did say that Boyce was actually with Sony for 4 years in the article. It said prior to that he did work in games like Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Payday 2, and Overkill's The Walking Dead. So those are some big titles.
Yeah.
But I decided they didn't do enough just to name three games. So I went back and looked at his entire bio. Did a little research with the Wiki machine. Actually, it wasn't the Wikipedia machine. It was some other machine. I think Moby Games, which is a great site out of, I believe, Australia or New Zealand. But some of the games that he was credited with, and I just avoided all the games that people just thanked him, because that would be more like the relationship that you were talking with, where they work with Sony and kind of communicate back and forth, and then they'd obligatorily just thank them for their help. But some of the games that he actually held credits for were Dark Void and Dark Void Zero, Grim Fandango Remastered, Final Fight Double Impact, Bionic Commando, 1942 Joint Strike, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, Blitz the League, Major League Baseball Slugfest Loaded, Resident Evil 5, Flock, NBA Live 99, World Cup 98, NHL Hits Pro, Lost Planet Extreme Condition, which was an expansion pack, Nuclear Throne, PID, Axiom Verge, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey New and Tasty, which is actually a really fun game, Defiance, which actually became a sci-fi channel kind of simultaneous release kind of thing, which was really cool. And Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix. That's a hell of a little bio there.
Yeah, I'm sure he leads on his resume with Resident Evil 5.
Yeah. It's in smaller print, conveniently.
Yeah, I would guess wherever he interviewed, you know, when you interview for a job and you get the whole, what's your strengths, what's your weaknesses, I hope for weaknesses he just said, I worked on Resident Evil 5, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just, you know, let's just kind of move past that, we got that out of the way, I worked on it, it's terrible, everybody hated it, I'll never do that again.
Yeah, that would be one of those ones he'd have to explain away.
I can't believe Capcom, you know, they've announced Resident Evil 4 Remastered. When's 5 coming, guys? Come on, everybody wants that, right?
yeah, not so like, much. Well, they made up for it with Grim Fandango Remastered.
here's the deal with that. We're getting a little bit off topic here, but I tried to play that, and I did not play it the first time around. I just couldn't get into it, man.
Yeah. I think it looks good, though.
I love point-and-click adventures. All the art design on it was amazing. I absolutely loved the way it looked, but I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I tried to play it a little bit, and like you said, I love the artwork. It looked awesome. It was really super fun, and it's just not my cup of tea. Which that happens. I mean, there are some great games out there that just don't resonate with some people. Whether it's because of the style of gameplay or whatever, and I'm one of the few people probably that really appreciates The Last of Us, but can't play it. I just can't play it. I love watching it. I just can't play it. And, you know, it's not a testament to the game itself. It's just more of a testament to the gamer, and it doesn't mean that I suck. It's just me and that game are not compatible.
Yeah, and you're actually not the only one, Brian, that has brought that up, that has pointed out that, almost verbatim with what you just said, it's a pretty game, I just don't have any fun playing it. And having beaten the game twice, I'm a massive fan of The Last of Us. I understand where you guys are coming from. I can see why it would be an unpleasant game, both gameplay-wise and the mechanics of it. Just not everybody's thing. I can see why people don't like it.
Yeah. Another game that resonates with some and doesn't with others is Fallout 4. And Vault-Tec is actually preparing for the end of the Fallout 4 expansions. Sticking with GameSpot.com, Bethesda, Ryan, has actually announced that it will be presenting a demo of its upcoming Fallout 4 DLC, which is called Vault-Tec Workshop, this week. I know you can't find your way back into it, but on Tuesday, July 12th, you can actually catch a preview, if you'd like, of the DLC on the developer's Twitch channel. So should you choose to partake in that content, which allows you to create your own vault, and experiment on its dwellers just like a real member of the Vault-Tec company, it's just $5. Unless you got the season pass, then it's yours already, so don't worry about
free.
It. Now, you had actually brought this up when we were talking about the release of Fallout 4 back before it actually happened. And one of the things that you were talking about back when, I don't know if you even remember talking about it, I remember you talking about it, you were talking about how Vault-Tec is really just an evil company.
Oh yeah, definitely. All the experiments they were performing on people, Fallout 3 in particular, you know, you would go into these exotic, forgotten vaults on various points of the map. They were hella hard to find too. And you would read all the journals and stuff. And if you're playing a Fallout game and you're not taking the time to read like the stories on the monitors, I understand why you're not doing it, but you're really robbing yourself of some excellent storytelling. Bethesda has put so much time into those computer logs, and some of the stuff that Vault-Tec does to these people, it is screwed up. Like, really screwed up. Like, you come from the most normal vault in the game. It's crazy. Vault-Tec is just as evil. Vault-Tec is like the face of evil corporation in the future.
For real. And one of the things that actually does bother me about Fallout 4 is there are only like two or three different vaults in Fallout 4, and they really kind of got away from that. They're actually concentrating more on the people who are actually out in the wastelands of Boston.
That's disappointing.
In the Commonwealth. Yeah, and you miss out on a lot of stuff. There are still some gems out there. Like right now I'm actually really close to finishing the game the first time through. Just starting to find my schedule and how it works with gaming and things like that after switching to days. Now, like, there's some, in the one, Mass Fusion Building, is what it's called. Like, there's like this whole underbelly of a relationship and somebody who's like really clingy and apparently proposed to one of the other scientists, and they're dealing with them with all these things. But there are some really funny stories in the way they treat things. And just throughout the Fallout series, it's one of the best part about the Fallout series is they do include those little side stories that if you just try to race through, you're going to miss them.
Yeah.
And even if you play through and you're not quite paying attention, you miss out on some really funny, some twisted stories.
Yeah.
That really kind of just pull you into what's going on and just how twisted Vault-Tec is.
Yeah, I found the vault stories in Fallout 3 to be 1,000 times more captivating than the main quest where I was chasing down Liam Neeson to find the magical purified water. I just pulled up an example here, Brian. Vault 106 from Fallout 3, and I'm reading this straight from the wiki, is one of the Vault-Tec vaults located in the Capital Wasteland. It is located within a large cavern. Okay, that's just blah, blah, blah. As part of the vault experiment, psychoactive drugs were released into the Vault 106 air filtration system 10 days after the door was sealed. I mean, that's the kind of weird shit that they were doing to people. They were drugging these people that they were supposed to save.
Yeah. And they had one where they were like feeding people like drugs as well.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of, okay, let's see how they do it. And they told them that it was like a rehab facility.
Yeah.
And then and this one's actually in Fallout 4, where the people are trying to rehab from drugs, and then they're just like, well, you seem to be over your addiction, so let's do this. And they just piled a bunch of drugs.
You wacky Vol-Tec.
Yeah. It's like, why would you do that? That's completely wrong.
Yeah, Vol-Tec is the face of monstrosity in the future. They are the worst.
Yeah, but just looking at the theory of this DLC and being able to experiment on the Vault Dwellers, I love the theory of this. Like, whether or not they're able to pull it off, according to preliminary reports, because I've sworn not to play any of the DLC until I actually beat the game. But from some of the different people that I've talked to that have beat the game and have played the DLC, some of the DLC is glitchy as hell, which is expected with Bethesda.
Yeah.
But just the very concept of being able to experiment on dwellers, the Vault Dwellers, and operate as like a Vault-Tec employee, it's just so appealing to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great, we're not the only two that love the stories of the Vault-Tec and Fallout 3. So, I mean, it's a great idea. I'm sure fans are gonna eat it up. And what'd you say? It was $5?
$5.
What? Well, $5, come on. And if you got the season pass, like you said, you've already paid for it. This could potentially be the most fun DLC for Fallout 4.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I would even argue maybe, if it pans out in theory, as it should, I would put it up there as some of the best DLC period for the Fallout series, just because you can do all this nasty, crazy stuff to the Vault Dwellers.
Yeah.
Just for the pure fun factor of it.
Yeah.
Mothership Zeta was insanely hard and crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. That was just so brutally difficult.
Yeah. And this just looks to amp up the fun aspect of it and just being able to be evil. I can't wait. After the Vault-Tec Workshop, when that is released, only one legitimate expansion does remain for that game. That expansion is called Nuka World, and is expected to release around August 30th, according to a leak reported by YouTube user Mr. Matty Plays, who has been pretty accurate, I guess, with past predictions for different things. So whether or not he's actually speaking truth to that, I don't know. But nobody at Bethesda has come out to actively negate what he said. So look for Nuka World to be the last major expansion for Fallout 4 after the Vault-Tec Workshop releases. Again, that is July 12th. You can see the demo on Bethesda's Twitch channel, so be sure to check that out. Now, moving on to the next story. I called up a couple of stories right before we went on the air, which I now have to battle my computer because it's slow because of some of the videos that are running for whatever reason. So I apologize for that. Let's go with the Counter-Strike gambling story because this is kind of a big story.
Yeah,
which you were already really familiar with as soon as I mentioned it. If you're not familiar, Counter-Strike Global Offensive has a system in place to where you can actually sign up for like a lottery of sorts, so where you can actually potentially win different upgrades and weapons and armor and things like that for the game, which has made the two owners of this game and this setup, that we'll just say it's made them very wealthy. And then this week they actually put out a YouTube video to where they apologized for not being as forthcoming as they should, which was a very bizarre video.
Yeah.
What was his name? Matt Martin?
Yeah, T-Mart is his code name on the site. You're talking about the video where he's like wandering around, which looks to be a pretty sizable house.
Yes.
With probably a GoPro strapped to his wrist. And he's kind of apologizing, but he's kind of doing it half-assed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, hey, yeah, I might have screwed up, but I didn't totally intentionally try to deceive you, you know, because I wasn't the owner at that point. But all the court documents that they have state that he was right there at the beginning as the owner of this website, this CSGOLotto.com. So yeah. After you know that information, you watch the video and you're just like, it's kind of disgusting.
It really is. And it kind of, it brings up a lot of ethical questions for, even developers and things like that, because so much money was changing hands with people trying to get the next best thing. And I'm not sure if it says more about them or more about the state of gamers who are willing to shell out big bucks in order to bypass doing the hard stuff to actually get these weapons, to get an advantage in the game.
Yeah, and it seemed to me, now, I'm not familiar with Counter-Strike whatsoever, but it seems to me like a lot of these things that they were bidding on was nothing more than, like, gun skins. You know, just like a different way. And you saw some of this stuff going for hundreds of dollars, and it's just like, what the hell? It's a skin. It doesn't offer you any kind of advantage in the game. It really does boil down to, like you said, Brian, an ethical problem here, because this is gambling, no matter which way they want to sell it, and there was no way to prevent kids, underage kids, from participating in it, and that's where the root problem lies here. You had kids likely participating in these gambling auctions.
Yeah, and that's where it really comes into a lot of play, because a lot of the different governments from around the world that actually, when you consider how international gaming has become with online play and thing, they don't really have any laws in place that actually were really set up to handle this type of thing, which makes it really difficult, because at what point do, like when it comes down to legal culpabilities versus ethical culpabilities, I think everybody in the gaming industry realizes this stinks to the high heavens. It's just what kind of legal recourse do they have? And I think where they're going to get stung is going to be, like you said, when you're dealing with minors. I don't think it really matters where you're at. When you start dealing with minors and swindling minors out of money, that really tilts the tables against you. And I think they're going to have a really hard time trying to justify this in a legal system of any type. And they could be having that big old house that he was in for that half-assed apology, they could be seeing that house just disappear.
Yeah, you know, and it's worth noting, too, that they showed some videos of these guys, kind of, obviously we know now that they were likely faking it, where they would themselves win a lottery, and then they'd be spinning their chairs around and throwing their arms in the air, you know, yes, I got the camouflage skin for my AK-47, you know, and just, you know now that, well, they're the owners of the site, you gotta think that whole thing was rigged. It's just a gross situation no matter which way you look at it, and those two should really be ashamed of themselves. I'm sure these aren't the only two guys trying to pull this stuff, but it really pulls a negative sense of attention to these YouTube stars that you get that are bouncing around out there.
Yeah, it just looks bad. I don't picture them having any kind of wealth left whenever all the legal stuff is done.
No.
Certainly, they're not going to have any credibility when it comes to actually the gamers themselves. Anytime that they're seen at the head of it, this is a one-shot deal for them.
Yeah.
They're going to have a hard time actually recovering from this reputation-wise, I think.
Yeah, and it's annoying, too, because just when gaming starts to get a little bit of traction, and hey, we can be a serious form of media, too, shit like this happens, and everybody in the world that doesn't like video games and finds out about this story look casts a more negative light on video games in general.
Yeah. It's just really bad. It's a bad look, and
it's ugly.
It does. It does. It gives a black eye to the game industry.
Yeah.
And it's unfair, because there are a lot of good people out there in the games industry that are trying to do quality things. And when you got something like this that happens, it just sets everybody back, and completely unfairly.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're gonna move into one of those almost happier stories of the week, and that is You gotta catch them all, Ryan, yep. If you can keep up with it.
Yeah, this is so, absolutely so crazy, the way that this thing has exploded. I go on Twitter and I see people that I have never once seen mention video games before talking about playing Pokemon Go. This is nuts, dude. I don't know anything about Pokemon, but everybody's loving this game. I haven't downloaded it myself yet, but man, it's getting more tempting by the hour.
We downloaded it last night. It actually, it dropped in the Apple Store, I believe, on the 7th, so 3 days ago. Thursday, I believe. And the number of people, like you said, it's unbelievable just how, for literally like 2 straight days, it was the number one topic on Twitter for trending topics. And Pokemon Go, I mean, everybody was waiting for that first Pokemon mobile game to be released to the public. And once it did, it pretty much took over everything. Like, even in the middle of all the Dallas shootings and Minnesota shootings and all that, Pokemon Go, boom, right there. That's what people were talking about. I think that we could have had a presidential election happen in the middle of it, and still people would have still been talking about Pokemon Go.
Be out looking for Pikachu.
Yeah. But first off, people who have downloaded the game haven't been experiencing many, many, many issues, which is to be expected.
Yeah.
Namely, the massive power drains on their mobile devices.
Well, I'm guessing that to play this game, you're using the two things that suck the battery dry on a phone most is the phone or the camera and the GPS, and I'm sure both of those are used heavily to play this game.
Yeah, it really is. And literally, we were walking. My son and I walked about just over 2.5 miles, looking for Pokemon on that first day. And it was so funny too, cause he was sitting over there playing, I believe, Super Dodgeball on the PlayStation 4, as I was doing some stuff, getting some stuff ready for 1UP Power Up, which you'll be able to hear if you listen to that show. But I was sitting here, I finished that up. I looked up at my son. I was like, do you want to go catch some? And before I could even get that out, he had run upstairs, grabbed his shoes, and met me right here. He's like, yeah. Oh, we're going to go? So we went for like 2.5 mile walk or something like that around the neighborhood, catching a Pikachu and then catching, what was it, a Weedle and whatever else we got. We got some more Pokeballs, which is a really neat concept because it kind of tricks kids into actually going out for walks in their neighborhood.
Yeah, no, I like that part of it. 2.5 miles with, how, so, I mean, he's about 10 years old, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive to get a kid that age to actually put the video game controller down and go outside and get some fresh air these days. There are some good side effects to this game.
There really are, and that's the thing. You have to be careful, which we'll talk about in a minute. But literally, in 2.5 mile walk, which didn't really take that long, over 60% of my battery life went in my phone.
Wow.
That's an incredible drain, because it's not like my phone is 2 years old. I just got it back in November, late November. It's an iPhone 6. So, I mean, you're talking basically what is essentially in these days a battery that will have no problem at this point in its life.
Yeah.
60% drain in just a 2.5 mile walk. That's insane. Niantic Labs, who produced the game, says that they're working on a solution to that problem, which is very widespread. Also, that GPS that you mentioned is glitchy as hell. You sit in there, and then all of a sudden, your Ash-like character has to run to catch up where you are. The one road that we came up to, it's just a 90-degree turn, and they had it like a 130-degree turn. It was just really weird.
They still got some bugs to iron out on this thing.
Yeah, like, I'm not really concerned about that. I figure they'll fix it with updates and stuff like that, but it really is glitchy.
Yeah.
A lot of the music and other audio that is in the game can actually become pretty distorted. The game itself can temporarily send you back to level 1.
Ooh, that's not a popular glitch.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant one. I've not experienced that yet. But there are, a number of players who do have that. happen to them. And also, players are experiencing near constant server issues, which is kind of funny, because I don't know what it is about this, but everybody feels the need to post on social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, the server issue page. That's like, okay, we know it's happening, so who cares?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't have to show a picture to prove it. It's like the whole phase where everybody was showing the food that they were eating.
Yeah. Well,
it just makes no sense.
It goes hand in hand. That's the downside of a popular game like this, is that during the first, I would say the first month, there's going to be issues like this, and server issues are always a problem for the flavor of the week game, you know, whether it's Battlefield. Call of Duty seems to have some issues with it for the first couple of days every single year. It's just part of life, guys. If you're going to be part of the hot, popular new game, server issues are going to be part of it.
And as much as, like, any company can plan, they can't plan to have extra server space for the initial outburst of, they got to plan for the long term.
Yeah.
And that's why it happens. Even a game like Call of Duty, they know that they're going to get bogged down and everything's going to be shit. Just like Sony and Microsoft know that their servers are going to be shot the day after Christmas and Christmas morning.
Yeah.
They just know it. But you can't do anything about it because you got to make every plan for the long term, not for a short term.
Yeah, exactly. And they know with, just like Call of Duty, they know with the name Pokemon attached to it, a broken server for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or whatever isn't going to make people run away from this. I mean, this is going to, it's part of a franchise that is stable and strong enough to withstand a couple of days of not being able to log in all the time.
Yeah, and this is one of the main reasons why Nintendo made the deal with Niantic Labs, because they haven't had one, a Pokemon game or a Nintendo title really, out on a mobile device that wasn't a Nintendo DS. So this is really a lot of, besides Miitomo, which isn't even really a game. So this is kind of the first real foray into that mobile world that they actually got a hold of Niantic Labs for. And I don't know, I'm going to consider it a success because the game isn't overly irritating or anything. It's a Pokemon game and stays very true to it. And I was able to get an Eevee today, which is my favorite Pokemon character, for whatever reason. I don't even know why. But either way, it's a mad, crazy success for nearly everybody who seems to play it, especially if they're kids.
So as a guy who has never played Pokemon, I haven't downloaded this yet, but how are they making money off of this? Because this is a free-to-download-and-play game. Is it advertising? Can you buy unlockables in this? How are they making a buck off of this game?
Yeah, they have items you can buy.
Okay.
You can buy, like, eggs, which hatch into Pokemon. You can buy you can buy more Pokeballs. You can do some of the microtransaction stuff.
They're gonna make some money off of this then.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people out there who don't have the patience to walk to the university. Because we went to a crafts fair at Youngstown State University today. And literally there were like 7 or 8 different locations that you could go to. Cause there are specific places you could have to go, that over a period of time, they refresh and stuff like that, but you go to them, they're considered points of interest, and so you go, and you go to that place, and then you like swipe, and you can get more Pokeballs from those locations. But if you don't want to do that, then you can spend like the $4.99 or whatever to get an additional number of Pokeballs, to help catch more Pokemon. It's simple, and it's really, you know, geared towards the player that simply can't wait or simply doesn't want to make a trip a mile and a half down the road to the local playground, which is where we had to go to get Pokemon balls the first day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Some people are going to spend that money, and that's just the way it goes. I mean, it's really why Activision paid umpteen bajillion dollars for Candy Crush. Really so stupid,
yeah.
But whatever. People will spend the money, so they just make the investment. If you have an Android, you actually have specific issues, regarding a shop, which actually requires that you restart your entire device. that sucks. You go to buy some stuff in the shop with the microtransactions, and then you have to shut down your entire phone because it's telling you that you already bought that.
That would piss me off.
Yeah, I would not be happy with that at all. But other than that, I mean, the game is an awesome excuse to pack up the kids and go find a dead body. That actually did happen this weekend. In Wyoming, a teenager was searching for Pokemon while hiking in a town called Riverton when she came across a dead body floating in the nearby Wind River. The body of a man, no word on whether foul play was involved in that man's death, was floating in the river when she was looking for the next Bulbasaur. She was actually looking for water-based Pokemon when she came upon that 19-year-old girl who... Just reading the transcripts in the article, it just sounded like she wasn't even really phased. Just, well, that was weird kind of thing. And I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with her?
Did she get the Pokemon, though?
That's something she didn't talk about. She just basically talked about why. She just kind of shut the game down, she said, and called 911, and they got there pretty quickly. So good on the Wyoming people. But that's one of those things that you just don't expect to happen. With a game like this, it's like, how many people found dead bodies while geocaching?
Yeah, the most interesting part about that story, though, Brian, is that they have the internet in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Just thought it was like horses and old faithful.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
We just lost all two of our Wyoming listeners for that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe he's Blastoise. but... either way, it is so weird and so bizarre. That's not even the weirdest thing that's happened, necessarily this past week. According to the UK's Daily Mail, and these aren't necessarily weird ones, these are kind of tame compared to that one, a number of personal injuries have been occurring due to the game as well. People are tumbling off of skateboards while trying to play, they're tripping over curbs, falling into holes. You have to say this was all predictable, right?
Yeah, I wonder when the first Pokemon lawsuit is going to pop up, because this has broken arms and concussions written all over it. Climbing fences, yeah. Landing in places where you aren't supposed to go. It seems like a bad mix. Be responsible, kids.
And there's a subreddit page dedicated to the game too. Yeah. And one of them reads, Pokemon Go put me in the ER last night. And I'm thinking, no, you put you in the ER last night because you're an idiot.
Yep.
Also, Arizona's A.T. Still University, a medical school, even sent out a mass email warning their students who play the game to watch where they're going and move slowly towards the monsters they're trying to catch. Now, keeping in mind that these are future doctors and nurses, yep, that are going to take care of us when we're injured.
Can't wait for the guy that sent that email out to start cutting me open when I have to be. That's great.
It's just nuts. I can't even imagine.
Ugh.
Even further, the Sporting News is reporting that many stadiums, including minor league stadiums for baseball, are becoming prime places for fans to actually show up and locate various Pokemon. So they're seeing a little bit of an increase this weekend in ticket sales and stuff like that. Because many professional sports teams are sending out tweets that actually feature screenshots from that mobile game of Pokemon appearing in their stadiums, including the Milwaukee Brewers, which actually had posted a picture with one of their things actually out in the middle of their field.
That's savvy marketing.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart. I mean, using something like that, anytime you have a phenomenon, you have to kind of take advantage of it.
Yeah, it doesn't last long. You got to jump when the jumping's good.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, and I just pointed this out on Twitter to somebody I was having a conversation with, there is a criminal element that is also jumping into this. Polygon is reporting that a string of armed robberies in O'Fallon, Missouri, or Missouri, depending on where you're from, was broken up, in which Pokemon Go was being used to lure victims with in-game beacons.
That's awful. Yeah. That's terrifying.
It is, isn't it? I mean, the thing is, like, what they were doing, there's these beacons you can buy to attract other players so that you can, like, play them or something. And they were using that to actually hold up people. And they caught four individuals who, big surprise here, were already wanted for multiple unrelated holdups as well.
Jesus.
But it literally took less than 2 days for somebody to figure out how to use this for criminal functions. As a result, when I was looking these up, I actually pulled my son over and said, I read him the story, and I was like, this is exactly why you don't just pick up my phone and decide that you're going to go for a walk. And because the other day, my daughter's friend actually showed up at our door chasing Pokemon.
Oh.
And she lives, you know, a mile away or so. But if my 11-year-old were to pick up my phone and just go hunting for Pokemon and then something like this happened, I don't know what the hell I would do.
Well, and just think, Brian, how easy it would be to lose track of time and spatial where you are in the United States. You know, if you just started walking and the next thing you know it's dark and you're like 6 miles from home and you're 11 years old. I mean, that could get in some scary territory there. And you can't call home because you used all your battery chasing the Pokemon.
Yeah, for real. For real. That's a real issue.
It is.
And we're going to hear about it. And the day that it actually released, I had actually tweeted out that it would only be a matter of time before we heard about a kid trying to cross the street, paying attention to the phone, getting hit.
Yeah.
Which then Mart actually posted to Facebook, which I immediately posted on the 1UP Club's official Facebook page, which is official 1UP. Official 1UP Club. Pokemon Go is already taking over people's lives, and it makes a man cause a major highway accident in the, in the UK, I believe? I'm trying to find the actual location where this happened. But according to techworm.net, is where this article is, Nintendo's Pokemon Go, which was released in the US on July 7th, caused servers to crash due to the immense demand for the most popular game. Ever since it's been released earlier this week, this augmented reality game is proving to be dangerous. In a recent incident, Lamar Hickson, 26, stopped in the middle of a highway in order to catch a Pikachu and has been accused of causing one of the worst highway accidents.
Oops.
Hickson confessed to the police that he was playing the newly released Pokemon app game known as Pokemon Go while driving. He said, quote, shit, if you want to catch them all, you got to risk it all. So I put my car in park and started tossing these balls, end quote. They don't know what charges will be posted against him. But you're talking about texting in an officer for the Cardle Press Police Department. Says texting and driving was already a serious issue, but by playing Pokemon Go and driving could actually make things worse. This is just insane. Like, why people feel the need, I understand, like, people have that need and desire, that want to text and drive, but if you can't stop yourself, then that's a serious issue. And as we're seeing, I mean, it's already causing issues.
It's like,
this was like a massive multi-car pileup.
It's like you said, though, you got to catch them all.
And I just love that quote. Shit. Shit, if you want to catch them all, you got to risk it all. I'm like, no, you don't. You really don't.
Nope.
Trust me. I don't care if it's a freaking Charizard EX or whatever the hell it is. You don't need it. You don't need any kind of Mega Pokemon that bad. And you're causing thousands of dollars in damage because you throw the car in park going down a major highway.
Yeah, good luck explaining that to your insurance agent.
Yeah, just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So I guess the story on Pokemon Go will go down as, it's a fun game, but it's made dangerous by idiots who decide to be careless. So expect Congress to jump in at any point. Yeah, I guess that's all I'm saying about that. Congress has always got to get involved. That actually brings us to a question that I threw out on Twitter this past week concerning mobile games. Keeping in mind that I asked listeners prior to Pokemon Go's release, so many of their answers might have changed. Regardless, what I did, Ryan, and you can think about it while I'm reading the responses, I asked everybody who follows me on Twitter, at ToonsBrian, what their top three mobile games are. All they had to do was use hashtag 1UpTop3 in their response, and I would read their answer right here, which I will do. Mart, who we've often referred to in this podcast already, and who is one of the hosts of the 1UP Power Up podcast, who you can find on Twitter at OnlyOneMart, responded with, quote, hashtag 1UpTop3, 1, Clash of Clans, 2, Mingore, 3, Terraria, which I actually have on the 360. I really like that.
Yeah.
But that's based on the ones that he plays most. Not long ago, he started Transformers Earth Wars 2, which I actually have that downloaded. I just haven't started playing it yet. So I'll have to check that out. Eric on Twitter, who you can find at edorundo13, says hashtag 1UpTop3, 1, The Simpsons, Tapped Out. 2, Brave Frontier, and 3, Clash of Clans. So Clash of Clans is actually the first repeater. And then Shelley, who can be found at SBigWillieStyle1. Big props for the Will Smith reference.
Yeah.
She said, hashtag 1UpTop3, 1, Match Spree, with I'm actually not familiar with, 2, Downwell, and 3, Duets. Those are actually, I think the answers that we got from those three. Thanks, Shelley, Eric, and Mart for those responses. I do appreciate those. I think one of the things that we can take from just their answers is, just how many apps there are, how many mobile games there are out there. There's a ton.
Yeah, and a wide variety in your answers there too, you know.
Yeah, like half of them, I have no clue what the heck they are.
Yeah. Yeah, there was plenty in there that I had never heard of.
Do you have, the three that you tend to go to?
Yeah, I mean,
on the mobile
thing? The three I would pick, the one I'm playing the most right now is a game I can actually play with my daughter. She actually introduced it to me. It's called Crossy Road. Have you heard of Crossy Road, Brian?
Oh my god, that is so fun.
It's so much fun. It's basically, and I don't know how they got around, like, the Frogger license here, because this is Frogger. You are just continuously trying to move whatever animal that you currently are. Person, I unlocked a grill. You know, it's just this really weird stuff as far as characters. And you are just basically playing Frogger. You are trying to get this character as high up the screen. There is no end goal like Frogger where you just need to get him to the lily pad. You are just continuously trying to rack up a high score. Sounds completely stupid. Unbelievably addicting. You know, want to get that high score. And I mean, as far as like hand-eye coordination and stuff like that, it's a great game for kids and adults to play. It really makes you think on your feet, to know that you can't stop for too long because that eagle is gonna come in.
That eagle.
Oh, I hate that eagle with a passion. You know, you're sitting there, if you get blocked in, you can't like Frogger where you can just pause until the road is clear. Because if you wait too long, I think it's like 5 seconds, the game's over. You're going to lose that round. Absolutely love Crossy Road. Play it every single day, probably for an hour a day right now. Just trying to unlock as many points and characters as I possibly can. So big Crossy Road fan right now. The other two that I have you ever heard of Two Dots?
No, I've not heard that one.
Two Dots is a puzzle game where you're just trying to connect these two dots to kind of unlock a grid. I don't play that one as much as I used to, but if you're looking for, if you like kind of like brain teaser type games, I would highly recommend Two Dots.
And I really love those type of games.
Yeah, check that out when you get a chance. I think you'll like it. My third, and this one was in the news, I can't remember if it was last summer or the summer before, it might be 2 years old now. Man, I still play Flappy Bird. I was lucky enough to get Flappy Bird downloaded onto my phone before the whole controversy blew up and Nintendo threatened to sue the dude and take it down from the App Store. But Flappy Bird remains very similar to Crossy Road, just a good, easy hand-eye coordination game I can play when I've got a couple of minutes. If you're sitting in the doctor's office and you just have a couple of minutes, there's not time for like a long time commitment with a game, Flappy Bird and Crossy Road are my go-tos for that type of scenario.
Yeah, and Flappy Bird is the one that I missed out on, because by the time I had actually heard about it and went to get it, it was already pulled off of the Apple, out of the Apple Store.
It didn't stick around long.
No, it really didn't, and unfortunately it was the fact that all the controversy surrounded it that the guy pretty much pulled it immediately anyway, because he's like, screw this, it's not worth it for me.
And I mean, he was going to get sued for that, because the pipes in that are lifted directly from a Mario game. I mean, it looks exactly like it.
Yeah, which is sad, because it's one element. It could have been anything. It could have been a stick.
Yeah.
And it would have just had that same effect.
Yeah, but it's great. I still play it. It's a lot of fun. It's stupid. Nice. I just keep chasing that high score. I love these mobile games where you chase a high score, and that's kind of my jam right now.
Yeah, and for me, I think my, and like I said, I love puzzles. I love anything that really exercises my brain. I have to say that probably my favorite mobile game is actually from Microsoft, and it's called Wordament, where you basically, it gives you a 4x4 grid, and they give you like 3 minutes or 4 minutes or something like that to find as many words inside that connecting the letters, whether up, down, vertical, or up, down, or diagonal, vertical, horizontal, or diagonal.
This,
it's really fun.
This wasn't the game that, didn't you have a mobile word search game as your game of the year for Game Block last year? This isn't the one, is it?
No, it's not Wordament, it was Word Brain.
Yeah, that's what it was. I knew it was a mobile game.
Yeah, cause it was, that was actually my second favorite one, and unfortunately, I was literally so far into the game. And because of my phone having a little bit of a malfunction, because I no longer have the email address that I had back when I signed up for an Apple account, I lost all my progress because I had to reload it. So I got to start my 2x2 square and do all the stupid silly words and catch myself back up. But yeah, Word Brain is really difficult because you slowly progress from a 2x2 grid all the way up to a 7x7 grid of letters that you have to find the hidden words, by doing the same thing, just connecting the letters. And just insanely difficult, but I love that type of game. But Wordament rather from Microsoft is actually a really challenging thing because they keep a leaderboard, and you can actually, I believe, play it on Facebook as well. I think they have to where you can actually play it online. Either that or you gotta go into the Xbox website and you can play it there. I know you can play it on the computer, but if you have an Xbox Live account, you actually can do that. That's one of the few games that I 100%ed for the Xbox 360. It's actually on there and it shows up both on the mobile and on the computer. Just really super fun, and it's easy, and we actually set it up to where you don't even have to use your cell phone. We set up ones for the kids when we're sitting in a restaurant, on the back of like a paper placemat. So we'd set them up and they just go, go, go. It's really super fun.
Nice.
And then probably my third game, it's really hard for me because the thing is, like, I like some of the fighting games, like the Marvel's has like the Clash of Champions, and they have Mortal Kombat X, from NetherRealm is on there, and then Injustice, Gods Among Us has their mobile one, and I want to say those because I do like to do it, and I do like basically earning things for my console games through those mobile games. But in reality, and I have to go with Angry Birds, because, and that's just Angry Birds as a whole, because I love the Star Wars ones. It's so stupid and it's so easy, and I just spend so much time, and like, I really like Crossy Road. Like you said, it's basically just, like you said, an isometric Frogger. Which is probably how they got away with completely ripping it off.
Yeah.
Just by making it an isometric view instead. And making it never ending. But Angry Birds is just one of those classic games that we kind of tend to maybe look down our nose at. And I think that's a little bit of, I don't know, I think it's just a little stuck up in this when we look at Angry Birds and say, oh, that's for kids. Well, yeah, it's for kids, but it's also kind of fun, and it's really super frustrating when you're trying to, like me, I try to do it in as few birds as possible. And if I can do it in one bird, then I am like the happiest guy. Like, I'm all proud of myself and stuff, which is really kind of sad and pathetic. But I'm willing to deal with that and, you know, have my moment of glory.
Yeah, you don't find too many people that don't like Angry Birds. I mean, it's just, it's simple, you know. It's another one that if you've got 2 minutes, you know, you can play a level. There's absolutely no time commitment in it. Yeah, it's fun. Everybody loves Angry Birds. Hell, I even love the Angry Birds movie.
Yeah, I've not seen it yet. It's actually at the cheap seats.
If it's at the cheap seats, right, yeah, you definitely need to check it out. It's worth seeing for, you know, $2.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do that because we have ample time now that I'm actually working day shift.
Yeah.
It's really super nice.
You guys will love it.
Yeah. But, that's gonna do it, and I'm gonna actually start off by saying this. If you would like to participate in the show, you can, and it's much easier than you think because I'm super friendly. And so is Ryan. But if you want to get a hold of me, the show's email address is theoneupclub@gmail.com. The show's Twitter handle is @clubOneUp. My personal Twitter handle is @ToonsBrian. That's TOONSBRIAN because there's only one way to spell Brian the correct way, and it's with an I, not a Y, you freaks.
I agree.
Yeah. The show's Facebook page, which you need to go there right now. It's facebook.com/official1UpClub. Or by sending a message to our Skype line, which is actually Toon Show. So if you've got Skype, jump on there. Just search for Toon Show, and then send me a message. I'd love to hear from you, and we can even arrange to get you on the show. If it's more convenient, by all means, use that email address and send me an MP3 file so we can get you on the show that way. Either way, we will be glad to have you aboard. In the meantime, Ryan, probably suggest people to keep an eye out for us to do some live broadcasts of cool games like Sniper Elite.
I can't wait for more sniping. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Get the game. If you haven't got the game, run out and get it. Farmhand 87 is my name. Friend me on there. We will not hesitate to invite you in the game. We have fun chatting. It's a blast, seriously. It's way more fun than it should be for a 20-some dollar game.
For real, isn't it? And we're actually working on a way to broadcast some retro stuff as well. I actually didn't get into the software enough this weekend. I should have.
It's hard to get motivated to play with that Elgato software because it just isn't very good.
Yeah, it's not conducive.
It's pretty bad.
But we've got some awesome games between the two of us that I think people will love. Again, I got just here myself. We got like Mutant League Hockey and football. We got the original Super Mario Kart, Parasite Eve, which I can't wait to get into because I think some people really missed out, especially some of the younger generation might have really missed out on that game. You've got like Super Star Wars that we could probably get up there at some point. You have all the Super Star Wars, don't you? The Return of the Empire, or Return of the Jedi,
yep.
Empire Strikes Back, you got all that.
Yeah, I even have the boxes for Empire and Jedi. I don't know what the hell happened to the box for Super Star Wars, but as a collector, it kind of drives me nuts that they can't all three sit on the shelves and match. But maybe I'll hit eBay and see if I can find that.
Yeah, I came across, I was going through the different games that we have here, and I came across the Army Men 3D Air Attack. For the PlayStation. I'm like, man, did you happen to get into the Army Men games?
I don't remember that one.
No? Oh, they're so fun. It's like it's almost like Call of Duty, except for the little plastic guys. So you're getting shot and like little pieces of plastic come flying off of you and stuff.
Oh.
It's so ridiculously fun.
Cool concept.
It's almost like, Micro Machines, the Micro Machines series.
Oh.
Where you're basically in like a big yard, so you're like running through high grass and
I can see myself
like
playing that.
Bouncy ball.
Yeah, sounds cool.
It is. They made like 6 or 7 of them for the original PlayStation. I think the PlayStation 2 had some of them as well. Really kind of an underrated game. So I'm going to have to get some of that gameplay up at some point too. But be sure to check that out. You can find links to that stuff once I get it up at oneup.club. I've got the formatting ready to go, I think. I just have to actually get it up. But you'll be able to find that kind of stuff at one-up.club and game-block.com. Before we go, Ryan, why don't you tell people how to get a hold of you and different stuff that you've got going on?
Twitter is at RyHamner. That is by far the best way to get a hold of me if you want to talk about movies, TV, video games, even a little bit of comic books every now and then. GameBlock.com is the website. There's a hyphen between game and block. Do not forget it. It is very, very important. Haven't done a lot of stuff with the website as far as written articles, but we're definitely kind of focusing on the YouTube stuff, the broadcasting. We were just talking about Sniper Elite, stuff like that, because in the summer, you know, video games tends to slow down a little bit. Hopefully that will change here with No Man's Sky right around the corner.
Absolutely, and I've really been debating on whether or not to pre-order that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I know that everybody's going to be playing it, and I kind of want to play with people now. Sniper Elite 3 did that to me.
Yeah.
I just want to have fun with people, and I know a lot of people are getting it.
Yeah.
So I'm still debating it.
Good or bad, I'm going to have quite a bit of coverage on that. I will definitely be playing it day one. Probably do some live broadcasting of it day one and just kind of give everybody, because, I mean, let's face it, it is almost as controversial as The Last Guardian as far as release dates at this point. It's just been delayed and delayed and talked about and delayed some more. Supposedly going to be a VR game for a while, and now we don't know if that's going to happen. Very interested to see how that game turns out.
Yeah, because there's a lot surrounding it, good and bad. So we'll see. I can't even imagine what the algorithms are that are involved with that game.
Yeah, or how it's going to work out.
Yeah. I hope it works out, because there's going to be a lot of people disappointed if it doesn't. And I hate that, because it's not good for gamers.
No.
Anytime that they get their hopes up and have them crushed. So hopefully people have realistic expectations too, because a lot of times that's the problem. But we'll see. We'll see. I know that I'm really looking forward to Deus Ex, which is coming out in the next month. And it's just a matter of No Man's Sky. I'm still on the fence with it.
Yeah.
But as we leave you this week, I would like to ask you to please remember to check out TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you can find all of those fun shows. Also, go to game-block.com and one-up.club. Do that for us, please. And if you go to one-up.club, by all means, help out this show and the One Up Club Podcast Network by, in a even passive manner, by clicking on the Amazon banner in the very middle of the One Up Club homepage for all your video game accessory and pre-order needs, things like that. It's literally, as you scroll down, it's right there in the middle. You can't miss it. Right now, it's a picture of The Division. And I will actually be updating that very shortly as well. But you can click there, shop there, and then it very passive-aggressively helps us out as well. But until next week, my name is Brian, his name is Ryan, and this has been the One Up Head, it's been the One Up Heads Up podcast on the One Up Club Podcast Network and the Trending Topics Network. Have a good night.